We're going to be talking a little bit about faith this morning, and in fact, we're going to be looking at some great statements of faith from the Bible. I'm going to start off with our introduction with Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. Hope you have your Bibles with you, and you're going to be looking at some of these statements with us. We'll not be in one particular Bible passage, but we'll be going to several. But having your Bibles with you, you all also be able to look at some of these great statements of faith as we study them this morning. Well, Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17 should be a familiar text to many of us. The Apostle Paul there, in introducing the purpose of the book of Romans, said this: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God, from faith unto faith, even as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Well, in these verses, the Apostle Paul speaks about the power of God, and he identifies what that power is. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says that power is God's plan for man's salvation, and that within the gospel, therein is revealed what? The righteousness of God. And that righteousness of God is revealed so that we can have faith within our life. From faith to faith, he says. And it was revealed so that we can believe and so that others can believe. And that righteousness that is revealed within the gospel of God helps us to live by faith. In Romans chapter 1, verse 5, Paul talked about the obedience to the faith that we need to be practicing each and every day. And we know from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 that we are to walk by faith as Christians. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And so faith is something that is very important that the Bible discusses, and the Bible has a lot to say about the topic. In fact, we could probably have a whole series of lessons on faith, and each one of these verses that we're going to be discussing this morning could be each its own lesson. But let's just review a few things that the Bible has to say about faith. It is important that we understand something about Bible faith. And so we're going to be looking at four things this morning, four different key Bible verses that talk about faith, hoping that each one will be able to think about these verses and understand what the Bible has to say in that regard. And so first of all, let's look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's our first Bible statement about faith that we want to think about this morning. Well, let's look at the entire context of that passage and think about what is being said in the context. The Apostle Paul, starting in verse 12, says this: "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, I want us to think about what this passage is teaching us in regard to Bible faith. First of all, it is saying that Bible faith is conditioned on something, that there is something that must be before we can have Bible faith. And what is that? It is the word of God. Without the Word of God, there can be no Bible faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so that means that if we have no Word of God on the subject, then what we do, if we propose to do something religiously, cannot be done by faith. Oh, we may do it for some other reason, and it may be something that's inconsequential to what the Bible teaches, but that's not an area of faith, because it's not an area on which we have a word from God. We can only have faith in as much as we have a word from God. And without a word from God, we cannot have faith. Now, it's a good thing that the Bible comments on a lot of topics, doesn't it? And so by studying the Bible and learning the Bible, we can learn to walk by faith, because the Bible teaches us that it is relevant in all aspects of life. And we want to live our life in reference to Bible teaching. And so that means that as I walk by faith each and every day, that faith is informed as I listen to God's Word. Faith is conditional upon having a word from God. Now, Jesus came to give us those words. In fact, in John chapter 6 and verse 68, as Jesus had finished giving a sermon there, there were many people who left. And then Jesus turned to his apostles and he said, "Will you leave also?" And then we read, "But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.'" You see, Jesus has the words that we need to hear in order to have eternal life. And by going to Jesus then and listening to Him, listening to His holy and divine Word, we can have the kind of faith that we need to have within our lives. And then think what the apostles did in reference to teaching and preaching the Word of God. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 20, there, as the apostles are being delivered from being imprisoned because they were preaching and teaching the Word of God in the temple, and an angel came to them and opened the prison doors and then said this to them, "Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." You see, God wanted His Word to be taught and preached and disseminated so that people can hear it. It's important for them to hear His Word. And why is that? Because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Without a word from God, there can be no faith. So faith is conditioned upon hearing the Word of God. But notice also in this same verse, Acts chapter 10 and verse 17, it talks about obedience. "For they have not obeyed," the Apostle Paul says, "because Isaiah wrote, they have not all heard His Word." They have not all obeyed His Word. And the truth is that faith is also conditioned upon obedience. In order to have faith, we've got to hear the Word of God. In order to have faith, we've got to be obedient to the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 7 and verses 24 through 27, Jesus talks about not just hearing the Word of God, but doing the Word of God within our life. He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." So the wise man does what? The wise man hears the words of God, and he does them. You see, there's obedience there. We know the rest of this parable that Jesus told about the wise man and the foolish man. He says, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. This is the person who hears the word of God, but then doesn't act on it. Can that person say that he has faith? No. And why is that? Well, because as we're going to talk about in our next point, faith without works is dead. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But as we're thinking about Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and obedience is involved in that. Faith acts. Faith gets the job done. Faith listens and then obeys. We need to hear God's word with a view toward obedience. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, we have an example there of one who heard the word of God but then did not obey it. Felix. It says there, "Now as he," that is the Apostle Paul, "reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid." The King James Version says, "Felix trembled." But then he answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." You see, Felix, in his heart, the word of God was not joined with true faith because he did not act upon it. Felix did not believe. Oh yes, the word of God had a powerful impact on his life. He trembled. He was afraid. But he did nothing about it. Our faith needs to hear and obey. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Notice the connection there between living and the word of God. We don't just hear the word and then walk away from it. We hear with a view toward obedience, and we've got to hear all of God's words. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus knew that all too well, because the very next temptation, Satan tried to use the word of God against Jesus. But Jesus knew that there were more words of God than just those that Satan was using. And so he rebuked Satan. He rebuked Satan's use of God's word with God's word. That's why we've got to know all of God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. A faith that obeys. Well, let's talk about our second point then. Faith without works is dead. Here's another great statement of Bible faith from James chapter 2 and verses 14 through 26. And we're going to look at this passage, and I hope you have your Bibles turning to James 2, 14 through 26, because we're going to spend a little time there thinking about what this verse says. And as we think about it, let's first of all read the text here. James writes these words, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" Well, James, in this context, this is the first statement that he makes about faith and works. And this is a very common sense argument that he's making here. Basically, he's saying this. He's saying, look, if the word of God says that you're supposed to help someone who is in need, someone who might need food or clothing, and you see that person who is in need have food or clothing, Do you just simply make a statement to that person? Oh, I believe that God says we are supposed to help those who have a need for food and clothing. And then do we just walk away from that? Well, you see, that wouldn't be faith, would it? Common sense tells you that in order to have faith, you've got to do something about the situation that is in front of you. And so if you see someone who needs clothing, if you see someone who needs food, then what are you going to do? You're going to help them with that. You're going to give them the clothing. You're going to give them the food. Faith without works, James is saying, is dead. It's meaningless. Has no point. It has no purpose. And so faith works. Faith acts. Faith does something. Faith obeys. Faith without works is dead. Well, let's look at verses 19 and 20 here in James chapter 2. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And so think about this for just a moment. This is James' argument from emptiness, if you will, or vanity. He says, the demons believe. Why, if you have faith, if faith alone is all that you need, well then even the demons believe. But you see, their faith is empty. Their faith doesn't mean anything. Their faith is worthless. Why? Because they don't act on it. They don't act on it. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man? Some translations say, O vain man, or O empty man, that faith without works is dead. In other words, if I have faith only, my faith is just as good as the faith of demons. Well, am I going to be satisfied with that? Do I want my faith to be the faith of demons? I sure hope not. What does that mean then? It means that I've got to go beyond that. And I've got to make my faith a living and active faith by putting it into practice. Faith without works is dead. But then notice verses 21 through 26. Was not our father Abraham justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Here's the argument from Scripture. From Scripture. Look at what the Scriptures say. They talk about Abraham's faith. And Abraham's faith when he offered Isaac on that altar. That was a faith that worked. Even though God asked Abraham to do the most difficult thing that one could ever be asked to do. Nevertheless, Abraham's faith in God was absolute. And he did what God told him to do. Rahab the harlot, she was also justified by works. When? When she acted on her faith that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was with the children of Israel as they came into the land of Canaan, in which those spies came in. She said, we've heard the reports. We know what's going to happen here. And so I'm going to put my faith in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And if you will, then please make a way for me and my family to escape. Her faith acted. And she helped those spies escape. And then she put that red thread into her window so that she could be saved. Faith works. And this, James gives argument from the scriptures, you see. So three arguments that he makes, that faith without works is dead. First of all, the argument from common sense. It's just common sense that God's word is supposed to be practiced. And you can see that even in your daily life when you go out and you see people, for example, who need clothing and food. What do? Faith then demands that you provide those things for them. There is an argument from emptiness. That is, even the demons believe and tremble. Their faith is useless. It's worthless. Our faith cannot be the same as theirs. It must be better. And then the argument from Scripture. That in Scripture, it's clear that faith worked. For faith to be living, it must be active. And that means it must be obedient. Romans chapter 6 and verse 26. Here the Apostle Paul writes, by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. Obedience to the faith. We must obey. And faith must be active. And that leads us into our next point, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Faith is active. It's living. It works. It interacts with life, and it places and within our minds the truths of God being as real as the world that we see around us. When we think about Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, you know, it's the beginning of that great chapter on faith where the writer of the book of Hebrews is then exhorting us to be like the faithful of old. And over and over he goes through and he talks about faith here. He talks about how faith, you know, faith is the foundation. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the confidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith then leads us forward into the future. And that's where there's so many doubts, you know, and so many concerns about the future. What does the future hold? We like our lives to be orderly and stable and predictable. Because in that way, you see, we can kind of have confidence in what's going to happen next. And when our lives are upended, when things are not stable and orderly and predictable, those are the very times when our faith is tested the most. Those are the very times when God is saying, I want you to trust in me for your future. Faith is the substance, notice, of things hoped for. It's faith is what is here and now in reference to the things of the future. It is the evidence or the confidence of things not seen. Things that we haven't had, sort of physical evidence for, right? Faith fills in those gaps. And faith then becomes the standard by which we practice our lives each and every day. Notice the faith of these great men of God in the Old Testament. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Hebrews 11, verse 4. You know, God gave Cain the information, to offer the sacrifice. When he gave Abel that information, Abel didn't know what was going to happen next. Cain didn't act on faith. Abel did. Cain did what he thought was right. Abel did what God thought was right. God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but he did not accept Cain's. By faith, Enoch was taken away so he did not see death. Enoch, Hebrews 11, verse 5, the man of the Old Testament who walked by faith, he walked with God. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. But he lived by faith. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, built the ark. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. You see, All he had was God's promise. Noah, I'm going to bring a great flood. I want you to build this ark. All he had was God's promise. That was it. But he acted on faith. And when he did that, he saved himself and his family from the great flood. Abraham, when he was called, Abraham, go into a land that I will show you, God said. God held the future in his hand for Abraham, and he said, Abraham, I want you to do this. And Abraham believed, and he went. He acted on faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Think about Abraham a little further here. Romans chapter 4 and verses 16 through 22. Romans 4 verses 16 through 22. Paul is talking about faith in this chapter and Abraham's faith and what Abraham did to demonstrate faith in God. When God told Abraham, you know, you're going to have a son. And Abraham and Sarah were both very old at the time. And notice what he says here. He says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. You see, Abraham believed God. He trusted in God. When we trust in God in this way, it appears, and God talks about the future in such a way so often in the Bible that it appears as if he's just flat out wrong about it. To us humans who think we know more about the future than God does, you know, sometimes, right? But God says things to Abraham like, you're going to have a son. You who are 100 years old and your wife, you know, who's barren. Been barren all her life, and who even if she wasn't barren, wouldn't he be capable of having a child anymore because of her age? You're going to have a son. Do you know how ridiculous that is, God? Wait a minute. That's not what Abraham said. He trusted in God. He believed in God. The God who calls those things that are not as if they are, the text says. And so it was accounted to him for righteousness. Faith places confidence in the promises of God as if those promises were reality today. That's the kind of faith we need to have. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then finally this morning, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. What a great statement. Because the world has so many things to throw against us regarding our faith. The world is going to challenge our faith. It's going to challenge the Bible. It's going to challenge the way we live each and every day. It's going to challenge our choices. It's going to challenge what God says about the future. It's going to challenge everything that is within the Word of God. In John chapter 15 and verse 19, Jesus said this, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. The world loves its own. We see that all the time. The world hates God. Why? Because God contradicts the lifestyle of the world. Now that's the bottom line. God contradicts the lifestyle of the world. He contradicts the practices that the world wants to engage in each and every day. And the world puts those obstacles in our path to try to get us to leave faith in God. But who knows more about everything than anyone? It is God, of course. Why then should we listen to the world, who are just giving in to their own earthly desires, their own momentary and passing pleasures, and seeking to establish those things instead of building us up in the most holy faith? 1 John 2 and verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And what does it say next? "And the world passes away, and the lust thereof," right? "But he that doeth the will of God abides forever." How we need to put our faith and trust in God each and every day. True faith overcomes. True faith gives us victory. And when we think about these great statements of faith that we've talked about this morning, we recall faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith without works is dead. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And would you have that victory within your life today? Maybe you need to become a child of God by hearing His Word and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins by following this plan that Jesus Himself gave. You can be saved. And then by trusting in God each and every day, you can walk by faith and not by sight. And thus, when your life comes to an end, have wonderful hope and assurance that you're going to live with God in eternity forever. Walk by faith, not by sight. Why not become a child of God today? And stop putting your faith and trust in the things of the world, which are fleeting and passing and proven to be wrong over and over again. So many times the world has proven to be wrong. But many will not listen. And how often is God proven to be right? Always. He's always proven to be right. And so let's follow Him and put our faith and trust in Him and do His holy and blessed will. And if you need to respond, we encourage you to get in touch with us through our website, through our phone call, or maybe even in person if you'd like to come by and visit. We'd be happy to talk to you. And if anyone needs to respond, we encourage you to do that while together we stand and sing this song of encouragement.